place I call home. Lock, talk, radio. I'm not alone.
Each and every one of you who is listening to this live broadcast are adored because you've scored with the divine image will help you get out in scrimmage to see that you have the freedom of choice, especially on a day like this, Independence Day in Turtle Island. Blessings and greetings and blessings, blessed souls. We're live because we're intending to be configured toward Chaim, instructions of life, toward Chesed, instructions of kindness, toward Rachim, instructions of mercy. You're now tuned into Blog Talk Radio. We humbly assert this is the higher inner frequency of Blog Talk Radio. We call ourselves Soul Talk. This is Soul Talk number 777. Proverbs, teachings to access wisdom and righteousness. Presentation number 2. Baruch Hashem, blessed is our eternal creator. Shalom, peace, and bracha, and blessing upon the entire human family condition. With creator's help, our next broadcast is taking place right now on July 4th, 2022 at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Live from Turtle Island equals AKA equals USA equals Unified Soul Actualization. The topic for discussion will be sharing the written and oral Torah traditions regarding King Solomon's Proverbs, one of the most powerful teachings from the Israelite Tanakh / Torah / Prophets / Holy Writings. Our call number, if you're listening live right now, is 563-999-3688 if you want to make the show slightly more organic. Meanwhile, may the Eternal Creator bless and protect you and your loved ones peacefully and pleasantly. The tags for today's program are Eternal Creator, Universal Redemption, Divine Image, Children of Israel collaborating with children of Noah to eliminate hatred, jealousy, and competition not needed upon this blessed creation, Oral and Written Torah Traditions of Israel, and last but not least, King Solomon, son of King David, Proverbs. We're listening now to Adored, by someone who was truly adored more and more in the international music scene, Neeson Black. He filmed this in the Holy Land. And now let's go back to our plan to actually have hopefully a fruitful and empowering discussion. We have live on the line our co-host, Rambam student, activist, and disseminator of teachings of the Nesher Gadol, the Great Eagle, Dennis Ryan. Happy Independence Day, sir.
Tovarish, it's nice hearing your voice again.
Thank you, Dennis. Dennis, I just want to go back to, say, 1976, which was, you probably remember as well, that was the 200th anniversary of this country, the United States of America. And I remember there was a lot of hope, and there was a lot of thought of going into the future. But we now look back 46 years later, there's a lot of doubt. There's a lot of concern, there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of worry, and I think, and of course, we are emerging one step more every day out of this pandemic, this corona disaster, and yet people are still catching. In fact, one of my family members and their loved one actually got it the week before last, so it hit home a little bit. I caught it over two years ago, but Dennis, I think that people are losing track of what is a day of independence, and what is independence as an expression of the human living experience? And we could tie it into the American experience, or I think there was a Chinese general called the American experience the American experiment. It's been a nice experiment with its pros and cons, but I think it's something that is certainly a vessel, as well the other current countries, I will humbly assert, are all vessels to usher in universal redemption. Dennis, you're taking all these matters or anything else that I didn't mention you'd like to add to this beginning of this program today.
Well, the human condition hasn't changed. We are always constantly bombarded with something or something else that takes us off our track and we can't concentrate on what we really want to do. If you go back in history, the same problems were called a different name, but they're the same problems. Every
right.
Government puts restrictions on us. The restrictions are there. But we do have freedom. The freedom to think, and the choice is ours. Do you want to be good or bad? Your choice. But there seems to be people that no matter what happens, no matter when, they mix up the choices. And this causes problems over and over and over. And we seem to repeat it. That's why we're going back in history of words that were written a long, long, long time ago to help us understand in our choices.
Beautiful. Thank you, Dennis. And one of the books that was written many, many years ago was, before we turn to Proverbs by King Solomon, son of King David, was also written by a descendant of King Solomon, King David. His name was Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon, Maimonides, Rambam. And I've mentioned this teaching before, but I think it really, I think we'll continue to mention this at the beginning of this series of presentations, which hopefully will go from chapter 1 to the very last chapter of Proverbs in our efforts, our humble efforts. And this is in Rambam's foundation, the laws of the foundations of the Torah, where he says, it is one of the foundations of our faith that God communicates by prophecy with man. Now, prophecy is bestowed only upon a very wise sage of a strong character who is never overcome by his natural inclinations in any regard. Instead, with his mind, he overcomes his natural inclinations at all times. He also must possess a broad and correct perspective. A person who is full of these qualities and is physically sound is fit for prophecy. So when he enters the orchard, which is a spiritual realm called as Pardet, or Pardes in Hebrew, and is drawn into great and sublime concepts, if he possesses a correct perspective to comprehend and grasp them, he will become holy. He will advance and separate himself or herself from the masses who proceed in the darkness of the time. He must continue and diligently train himself not to have any thoughts whatsoever about fruitless things or the vanities and the intrigues of the times. Instead, his mind should constantly be directed upward, bound beneath God's throne of glory, striving to comprehend the holy and pure forms and gazing at the wisdom of the Holy One, blessed be He, in its entirety, in its manifold manifestations, from the most elevated spiritual form until the navel of the earth, appreciating the Almighty's greatness from them. And after these preparations, the spirit of prophecy will immediately rest upon him. So, Dennis, I offer this as a opening statement, that freedom to me is to be able to get a communication from the source of all communications, who was spoken, the world came into being, revealed. Now, I am not a prophet, but there is something here as an instruction. If we work within the context of communicating with God as an expression of freedom, there also has to be discipline. So I ask you, Dennis, can we educate people? Can people become more aware of true freedom? Making the right choices will involve some form, at whatever level the person is able to access, discipline.
All humans are free to think, but we have to live within the restrictions imposed on us. Every government imposes restrictions. Can you live without a government? Not anymore. Maybe it was true years ago, many centuries ago, when people lived in isolation and nobody cared about the people who were in isolation. Take the word Eskenazi. That means of the North. We had a lot of people who were in the North and just stayed in their town. They never traveled much. But they were from the North, and the North in certain parts of the world is frozen, constant snow, very cold. So did they have a chance to think that they were free? Yes, they did, because they had less restrictions. But in the world today, with all the communications going on, though, we're bombarded by restrictions. Some restrictions are good, some are not so good. But the Rambam recognized in everybody, you have the capability of being holy if you so choose. But if you don't choose, then you're going to lose control of your emotions. As humans, we must control our emotions. They cause us the most amount of problems. Very hard to sit around and just think of God when you think some of your emotions are more important. maybe they're not. Maybe we should concentrate more on our creator than our emotions. Yes, we're looking for freedom, independence. That tends to be a temporary concept. Why? Because the minute that moment goes away, we're back to the restrictions and trying to tell people, choose good or evil. You have the choice, you have the capability, but you must moderate, as the Rambam taught, you must moderate your feelings so you can understand what the Lord put us on earth to do, and that is to think of God and to be holy in some way, shape, or form. Don't be embarrassed or ashamed to be holy. Why? Because that's what God wanted us to be on the planet. Unfortunately, some people lose control.
Beautiful, Dennis. When I walk on the streets of Crown Heights and I interact with people of various cultures, and I have a friend from Central America, and he was wearing a red, white, and blue T-shirt this morning, for the American flag. And I mentioned to him, we have to consider the responsibilities of freedom. So he turned to me in a very on-the-street type of awareness, which I appreciate. He said, there's two ways of looking at freedom. There's F-R-E-E and then D-U-M-B. I mean, people think they're free, then they act dumb. Or there's F-R-E-E and then D-O-M, which is dumb in Hebrew means to be quiet. So we here in this country have to realize that with the freedoms that are allowed, even though there have been more restrictions over the last couple of years, again, when I call it the corona disaster pandemic, is that still there are still many more freedoms. And perhaps if we take a moment, a quiet moment during the day to consider all the freedoms we have, to exercise our freedom of choice to do the right thing, which also implies we have to want to make an effort to learn what is right and wrong. Because I've heard from many people saying, why do I need to learn from a book? I can find out on my own. Well, the Baba Trebbi once responded to this, yes, you can go and find out what the difference between right and wrong is, but it take you 20, 30, 40 years. But you also can learn, we Jewish people, and we encourage the world as well to learn Torah, where you can access right and wrong and make your own decisions if that's the right and wrong you want to pursue in a much more efficient time. Because we don't want to see people getting to 40 and 50, 60 years old and then starting to realize, wait a minute, there is truly standards, universal standards of right and wrong. Dennis, your take on these matters.
We were all children at one time. That means that we were all in a learning position. So while we were children growing up to be adults, we have a period of learning. Now, do you use your mind in learning? Of course you do. But we didn't know how to use our mind. Some people listened to the vocal word. Some people had a better aptitude at learning, and they could handle books and words, and they progressed a lot faster. But the basic knowledge of all the traits and characteristics that you need to learn is in your head as you were a child growing up. Some of us had chances. Some of us didn't. Some of us had to follow restrictions. Some of us were happier. Does happy mean that you're free? Not really. It means within your space, you are comfortable. Happy means that the things that normally bother people, you have already discounted. You don't rely on the bad things. You keep to the good things and follow the instructions that were given us while we were learning. Because nobody is taught bad things when they're learning. Bad things come about when you can't control your mind. So we must concentrate and we must enhance our thinking. And we can do that by reading scriptures again. Because they did not teach negative or bad things to us. So here's a place where we can always go back and relearn things if we're not too sure about it. Because when you get older, you don't have choices anymore. about things you can do. You can be hopeful, but if you didn't use the learning process as you got older, then you're missing something. And I don't know how free or independent you may feel, because you may have missed something in the learning process.
Thank you, Dennis. Another thing I want to bring to the attention of our blessed listeners, and by the way, Dennis, I just want to point out, getting in I know once I've kind of made it a custom to talk about who has been listening to our programs. So our top five listening audiences, still the United States, it's 56.53% have been listening in, followed by Canada at 11.117%. Russia's dropped below the 7% level, but Jamaica had gone over the 5% level. It's now 6.01. I hope that is a continuing trend. We have the United Kingdom standing in at 3.09. We have Vietnam listening in. We have Belarus. We have Turkey. We have India. We have Australia. We have Kenya. We have United Republic of Tanzania. We have Morocco, and we have the majority of South America and Mexico, and not the majority, but we have especially Guatemala. We have Guatemala from Central America listening in, and, of course, we have the United Kingdom. So I think that also speaks volumes, Dennis, whether people are listening to us live or eventually in the archive version, that we are trying to address subject matters that, regardless of the cultural background, regardless of the theological bent, regardless of the economic standing, regardless of the psychological, cognitive, emotional capacity of our listeners, we are somehow reaching an audience that wants to go beyond themselves. And I think that is also an equation which is connected to freedom. Can you address that matter?
Oh, sometimes it isn't a question that you want to go beyond yourself if you don't know yourself. You must know yourself in the sense that, do you make the right choices? Do you know the difference between bad and good? Of course you do. But do you practice it? If you don't practice it, then why waste your time with the negative aspects of choices? You have the choice, and you can be better and better and better. But it's within you to do that. And one of the reasons that we know that is that you can pray anytime you want. You have the freedom to pray. Nobody has to interfere with your mind and your thoughts. Pray, and good things will happen. Not necessarily the wish things that you want Santa Claus or anybody else to bring you at Christmas time, but you need good things so you can lead a good life. And a good life depends on making the right choices.
Beautiful, Dennis. I'd like to mention something that before there was communism or fascism in the modern state form that we find in the world, I don't know if you want to say, but basically the Nazis, or I guess someone could argue it existed before in various other forms. You had theological theocracies. Abe Lincoln, who made a move to undo that great evil of the enslavement of the African people that were brought into the African diaspora, once mentioned that America is the last hope upon the face of the earth. Now, I don't know if Mr. Lincoln, President Lincoln, was struck with some sort of prophetic insight, or he was a thinking man, and let's go back to the 19th century, the mid-19th century, blessed souls. People thought more than people think today. And I think we mentioned on a prior program with Rob Walker, who unfortunately can't join us today. He's spending some well-valued and well-needed family time today on July 4th, that, you know, I used to remember a lot of phone numbers, you know, in my head. Now I just save them to my phone, or I write them down, and I can make the phone call. So to certain, even with myself, I see that I fall in prey to the what used to be, just when I was, you know, up until like, say, 37, 38 years old, which is over 20 years ago, I would remember many, many, many phone numbers. And now I've become a little bit lazy. So when people hear someone like Abe Lincoln from the 19th century, who was involved in that, the Emancipation Proclamation for the African Americans that live there and live here. I mean, I'm humbled because most of them are here in America longer than myself. I'm only a third generation American, Jewish American. I don't know, maybe you can say, Dennis, after I conclude my statement, how many generations you're in this country, your family. But at the same time, too, there is like sort of a short-sightedness with people predicating the hopes of the future solely on America and not putting ultimately their hopes and their dreams and their desires for good matters on God. And I like to read from another book which preceded Rambam's teachings, which I read last week, I believe, and hope to bring more of his teachings into our discussions, from The Gate of Trust, Shar Bitachon, by Rabbeinu Bachya Ibn Pekuda, who lived 1,000 years ago. He was from Hispania. So that was Spain before it was called Spain. It was called Hispania. So he says the following. Similarly, all the prior decrees of the Almighty were in the foreknowledge of the Almighty and have direct causes for their occurrence, and those causes have prior causes. However, someone who doesn't contemplate the manner in which the world is run will think that it is the new cause that forces a change in reality and turnover from one matter to another. But in truth, Rabbeinu Bachya asserts, the cause that we are looking to pinpoint as the catalyst for change, or say like for let's say even, and I don't mean to insult and or denigrate the existence of the United States government for the past 200, now it's 46 years, the cause is too weak and insignificant to be themselves the cause or the change or transformation. It can be illustrated from the fact that a single grain of wheat produces 300 ears, and each ear of grain has 30 grains, so that one grain is therefore the cause for 10,000 grains or close to that number. Sometimes it's not apparent to a person's mind that the grain itself is too weak to be able to produce such a massive quantity. The same applies to all other seeds that have been sown and planted. Similarly, we say regarding the creation of human beings and what they have engaged in creating, in this case the United States of America, and other living creatures who are created from a mere drop of a seed. And this is evidence from the fact that a big fish is created from the small egg of a fish. So America was once a small egg. It was once a colony. It was a place where the pilgrims ran away from the European system to have their own unique form of worship. And unfortunately, there were problems with the native peoples of Turtle Island, USA. And however, things manifested in a way that eventually the people that settled in numbers here felt they were being oppressed by the British government under King George and rebelled and fought back. And then, at that time, at the very foundation of this country, still slavery was maintained in other viewpoints, which today we would consider repulsive. But the country evolved, and that tiny seed of pilgrims that came on 400 years ago has now emerged as a country where, although we can assert what President Lincoln said, still God is the cause of all causes to help us realize there's a bigger, you know, bigger, last hope for all of the humanity, and that is God himself. Dennis, your take on these matters. And I think before you speak, Dennis, I think we're going to bring in Rob. Rob, is that you?
Hey, hi. Yes, I am. I'm here.
Okay. I don't know if you heard the beginning of the program, so you've been listening in?
No, I was able to connect now. I'm just connecting.
Okay, so Rob, I just made a long statement. We're going to let Dennis talk about it, and you can respond to Dennis's insight. Dennis?
Okay, no problem.
Yes, what happens is America stands for an agent of change. Everything that is bad, we've identified and we've tried to change and make it better. So the future depends, can humans get together and agree on what's a better way of doing things? And America has shown that it may happen on a slow basis, but we are open to change. And that's why we welcome people from everywhere, because everybody has something to contribute to the change. And hopefully it's for the better. But we're not afraid of change. We constantly look for different ways to do things, and we're open-minded. However, we don't lose our original thoughts of improving on what is the best thing to do and stay away from the negative. We constantly are trying to tell people, do better.
Rob, just to, I'll try to say it in about 30 seconds or less. Basically, what I mentioned before, Dennis commented what he said, that Abraham Lincoln said in the mid-19th century that America was the last best hope for mankind, and whether that was a prophetic spirit or just, you know, again, people thought more in the 19th century than they do today, much more. But however, again, America was not, unfortunately, people have a short viewpoint of history and thinking, you know, some people that want to drink the Kool-Aid, they'll think that the world is old, only as old and as civilized as the United States of America, and everything before that was barbaric, when actually there were civilizations that existed before that were, on a small scale, more civil and more just and less oppressive, and didn't involve, say, the genocide, if you want to call it that. It looks like it's a genocide to me of the native peoples, although there are still plenty of them. There's still millions of them here on this land, and it was an intended genocide at some level, an enslavement of the Africans. So there is this idea that America at the beginning didn't start out to be like that, but it grew, and of course slavery was there, and then it got abolished, and yet people are still fighting those causes. But at the same time, too, people are forgetting the cause of all causes. God has put into the situation, as Dennis mentioned, that all people are really welcome to contribute to this American experiment has been coined by a Chinese general. Your take on these matters?
Well, I mean, you said a lot just now, so let me just quantify what you said. America does have the, you know, and what Dennis said, America does have the option. There are always options on the table. Whether or not we take them to heart is another question. America was built on blood. Okay, America was taken from people that were already here. We didn't. It wasn't discovered. Discovered means that something is unearthed, and you say, oh, that's a piece of gold or a diamond in the ground. You mined for it. You were somewhere. You came from where you were. You took it, and till this day, that's really the mindset of the controlling body of people. As we go around the world, it's not to say that we haven't grown, we haven't become civil toward each other, or we have learned how to tolerate each other. But if you were talking about, you know, love, agape love, and that word agape means some really deep love, I don't think that we have that type of love for each other. Unfortunately, I think that we have to come to a place where materialism and capitalism take a backseat to humanism. We don't look at each other as the gold and the silver and the diamonds that we pull out of the ground. We look at each other as byproducts and slaves to material things, as opposed to the things being used for all mankind. So it would be a great idea, it would be a great notion to say that America is the last hope. But as you know, you said a moment ago, Don, ancient civilization is where all of the power of every nation comes from, in Egypt, in Africa, of course, and all these different places around the world, in the Congo, where gold and diamond and oil and all the beautiful natural resources were stripped and dispersed around the world. And I mean, that's just the truth of what it is. We are not the producers or the designers of civilized life. That is ridiculous, you know. That is just ridiculous. And I mean, if anybody were to think that, they need to do some history, some deep dive into history, and understand that we are just borrowing from our ancestors. We're just borrowing from the past, and we've just learned how to utilize these things in a more technological way. We learned how to build things based on, but these are old blueprints and diagrams from the past that we've just updated in a sense. What we have lost is our sense of love and community, which is what the ancient civilizations really, you know, were founded on, whether it be the Native Americans or the Native Egyptians or the Native Israelites. I mean, you know, for whatever, you know, however you travel the world, we have gotten away from a lot of the old values. That's all. And we don't look at each other as people. We look at each other as objects of capitalism. And that's the truth.
True. But I do want to mention, Rob, I mean, I know from the Tanakh, the prophets, all civilizations have had their clashes within them, within themselves, and with other ancient civilizations. I mean, there was the 10 tribes that separated from the 3 tribes, and I don't know the names of the other tribes. I know I've heard from a Mohawk native living up in western New York, in close to Buffalo, that there were some pretty intense clashes between the native peoples way before the colonialism started in America. And I don't believe there was a Garden of Eden. I believe with simple faith, with the original man and woman, and they fell, and therefore that set the template that something can rise and something can fall. So why it condensed over here or congealed into here, I guess I'm waiting for the Messiah to explain why things transpired as they did. We should get a history lesson, I believe so, but it, because of the instruction that can come from the prophetic teachings of what the Messiah will teach to us. General, with that being said, I'd like to go right now into, we left off with Proverbs chapter 4, I'm sorry, chapter 1, verse 4, and King Solomon says this, and then we'll turn to Rob and then Dennis for feedback. To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Now, last week, Rob mentioned how, you know, many times the youth are blamed for the problems, but if the elders do not teach the simple knowledge and discretion to the youth, they can be misled, and as, you know, we're in a society now that people are more, you know, educated, unfortunately, by mass communications than in-home schooling, or even in the school systems. I was horrified to learn about 7-8 years ago when I just, by divine providence, I bumped into 2 high school students who told me that they were not even allowed to share Bible studies on their lunch break inside their high school. But yet King Solomon says, if we want to educate our youth, we have to give them food for thought. Whether they be simple-minded people, we should give them a chance. I'm sorry, we should give them the chance to access prudence, and we should, for the youthful of spirit and even of years, we should teach them knowledge and how to have discretion, how to implement that knowledge to make it a better world. Rob, your take on these matters.
I mean, well, you said a lot just now. Again, I'll go back to the point I made a moment ago, is that you can't, America and the world at large, I don't want to just blame America. I mean, we have a whole civilization at large. We have a whole planet Earth. But if your information is inaccurate, then so then you're not really teaching anything. If your understanding is inaccurate, you're not teaching anything. If your perspective and your desire is inaccurate, you're not teaching anything. It has to come from a place where it's pure, at least to the best of our knowledge. It is leaning toward to the betterment of mankind as a whole, not a particular group of people, not a particular section of mankind. So when you say mankind, we mean all people of all diasporas, all religions, all cultures, you know, the global family, the earthly family. But again, back to my point, we are looking at it from the perspective of how can we monetize human beings before they die. And so we're not looking at people as a commodity in a holy respect. You talk about the Bible. We're not looking at it from the Torah perspective or the Bible perspective, or even if you're Muslim, you know, respect to you on the Quran perspective. We're looking at it from the capitalist perspective. So there can be no real light being shed on anybody if we're looking at it from a financial standpoint. Long before, you know, we printed money, there was a bartering system in place that allowed people to trade goods and services and things of that nature. Now, you know, we got people buying up, you know, whole parts of the country. How can you own the land? How can you own the land and grow and say, well, this is, you can't walk on this property. You can't walk here. You can't fish here. You can't go there. Someone owns that. How can you own God's earth? So God is really removed from the conversation in that respect when someone has ownership of all of these different things and they monopolize it for their own good, and they control people thereof by monopolizing it. So it's really a moot conversation. You can't really say that we are moving in a positive direction if people are struggling, people are suffering and dying, and bombs are being dropped, and we have a surplus of food around the world. We have a surplus of everything. Why are people hungry? Why are people homeless? Why are there even poor people left? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. So, I mean, again, we can always say that we want better, But as a people, we seem to be asleep. We are letting a few control the many, and we just don't really want what we say we want. And, of course, as you mentioned a moment ago, Don, that, you know, the ancients were willing to fight, and, you know, you said it in a different way, but I'm going to say too, they were willing to sacrifice themselves for the betterment of, the you know, the family. That's not the case anymore. People will go as far as they can go as not to be harmed or harm themselves. And if they get a little bit, they say, well, at least I got mine. But it's not about how everyone else is prospering. That's my take on it.
Okay. Dennis?
Yes. In spite of what Rob has said, there still exists love on the planet. And when love takes over, there are no differences. Love is love. And for some reason or another, people get together and they create families and offspring, and life goes on, no matter how bad the situation on the planet is. So it's almost like love is unstoppable for those who practice it. But you must practice it, and you will exchange it, and you will enjoy it. It's always been there, but we are a product of all the loves that have preceded us in the history of mankind. And they manage to overcome all the negative ideas you can absolutely have. Love will not be hindered because it's an option that is God-given, and we not only have to practice it with humans, but we have to practice it with our Creator.
Mm-hmm. Well, may I interject for a second? I'm sorry. I'm just going to say something. I love what Dennis just said, and I completely agree with what he just said. Completely agree that love is the answer. When, you know, we are still creating family, human beings through nature have to procreate. That is our instinct as animals in the human form, that we would procreate, we would do. But what I'm speaking of, and I'm not coming from a negative standpoint, I'm simply saying that we have not learned, with all of our spiritual knowledge and intellectual knowledge, how to get along and grow to a place where we respect each other, to love each other unapologetically, unconditionally, without any conditions, in any type of way. So human beings, yeah, I mean, we're gonna exist, but how we exist, how we move forward is really the question. Love is the answer, but how is it being? And then you have different people who look at love in a different way. What they believe love is not what love is. I mentioned the word agape, which is a different type of love. Some people's love is material love. Some people's love is just their family and nothing else. Some people's love is, you know, it's... So you have to really get to the root of what the word love means, and the Bible says God is love. So who then? What is God to the people who say they love? What is their God? Is it the Jewish God? Is it the Christian God? Is it the Muslim God? Is it the Buddhist God? Which God are we talking about? We have different perspectives and different ideologies based on different cultures. So it can't be coupled into one particular thing. And as America, as a melting pot, it's a beautiful thing that we have, you know, the ability to speak to different people and hear different perspectives. Oh, but it's two of them, that's why. It's red on both, that's why. I'm sorry. What I'm saying basically is that if we understood more, we had a deeper understanding of the word love as a global family, I think things would be different. That's my point.
Beautiful. I just want to mention that I saw a video last after the previous Shabbat, Sabbath, and one of the things that was pinpointed towards the potency of the blessings and of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who's actually the 20th anniversary of his ascension to the next level of life, took place this past Shabbos, is that the Rebbe's blessings were blessings that were permeated and drenched and soaked with love. And therefore, many people who receive blessings from the Rebbe and still feel the presence of his blessings 28 years later, even though he went up to what he defined as the next level of life. He was once asked by someone, a college student from the Hillel Jewish organization, what happens after death? The Rebbe said, the question should be reformulated and said, what happens to the next level of life? So the Rebbe was always giving blessings, and one could sense that feeling of love. I mean, I can personally testify. I'm not going to go into today about how I felt. I felt those blessings. I experienced them, and I still feel them today. But, gentlemen, I want to bring out something as well, is that we are dealing with an information age. They call this the age of interim age. They call this the post-industrial age. They call it the post-agricultural age. And yet, it seems to me that people are sufficing with little three-minute, I mean, listen, I don't want to be a mudslinger. I'm making TikTok productions because I was advised to, because I'm taking concepts which are in themselves are very dense and take a lot of years of studying and try to bring it down to the level that people can understand it and decide if they want to learn more about it. That's why we're sharing these teachings of Proverbs, of Mishle, it's known as Hebrew. But there's this, again, there's this idea that I can let the media, and I'm not talking about, you know, the news broadcast, but just instead of filtering out my own sense of what information I really need to empower myself and then hopefully empower others, that I'm letting other people provide me the venues instead of me saying, well, what do I really want to learn? What do I really want to know? And King Solomon in chapter 1, verse 5 says the following. In verse 4, he said, let's make the simple prudent. Let's make the young full of knowledge and discretion. However, let's remind the wise man, let the wise man hear and increase learning. The understanding man shall acquire wise counsels. Now, the person is wise, why does he have to increase his learning? And if a person is a man known as a man of understanding, why does he have to acquire wise counsels? Because the buck doesn't stop with any human being, blessed souls. Each one of us are works in progress. I progressed through my X amount of years. Dennis has progressed through his X amount of years. And, of course, Robert with his X amount of years. And therefore, King Solomon is saying that even a person who has superior knowledge, who can understand an idea from another, and he can add to what he heard. And the person of great understanding is that the understanding will learn to getting to reason more profoundly. So we have, for those people who are more advanced levels, more advanced than ourselves, King Solomon is saying, again, these are prophetic teachings, don't satiate and say, I've learned enough. Because that type of attitude is very stagnant. And because it's stagnant, it's not kinetic, and therefore a person is precluding himself, unless God intervenes, from effectuating some sort of exponential increase, not only in personal consciousness, but sharing it with masses of people, one person at a time. Dennis, your take on these matters.
The question is, can we put aside our differences and love one another? If we can love one another, we can love God.
Wow, that was pretty terse. Robert, you want to add to that?
Well, Well, that was nice, Dennis. The thing is that there are those who believe that they have learned all they need to learn, they've acquired all they need to acquire, and all they are doing now is just accruing lots of material things. I went to Harvard. I went to Yale. I went to Stanford, Princeton. You know, but suppose you went to BMCC or a 2-year junior college, and you just have, you know, this breath of wisdom that you know makes you equal in some respect intellectually to people who have these great, you know, institutional educations by appraised institutions. But does it? You know, I guess what I'm saying is that you can never learn enough. When you stop learning, you die. You know, that's pretty much, you know, the brain is a muscle that needs to be massaged with words and wisdom. And, of course, if you're a wise man, then you also want to make sure that you're not wise in your own eyes, but what you're seeing is what the truth of what it is, and surround yourself with people that are equally wise and can add value to who you are, and you can grow, because essentially you're not going to be here forever. And, you know, you need to make sure that the people that are around you also are being groomed to understand the purpose by which the Creator put us here. And you're sharing information, you're getting information, it basically becomes a blanket approach to making society better. I never pronounce this right, but I'm going to say it's said in the Jewish and the Hebrew culture, Tikkun Olam. It means to repair the world, to make the world a better place, to leave it better than I found it. And this other term that I heard recently in doing some research, is, if I'm pronouncing it right, don't laugh at me, Don, Dr. Squeaks. It means don't destroy things that don't need to be destroyed, even in times of war and tumult. Like if there's a tree there, and if it doesn't need to be chopped down, don't touch it. We've come to a place where we destroy what doesn't need to be destroyed. We honor those who are doing wicked. We cast down those who are doing wise and beautiful things. Society has gone in reverse, in a sense. As it relates to what you mentioned about the social media and the TikTok, we've always been, we've basically been forced to use these mechanisms of communication to get our message across. But it's also so they can see what we're thinking. I mean, you know, some of us are in the shadows, and when we come out and begin to express our messages, then they get to see, you know, who you are. They really want to know what people are thinking. And if you ask some people, they won't tell you. But if you give them a free rein and a virtually free platform to express themselves, people will expose themselves and say virtually anything on their mind, good and bad. So it's on one hand, it's a beautiful thing. On the other hand, it is almost as if we have come to a place where we're just not paying attention to what we say. What we say with our mouths, what we say with our bodies, what we say with our actions, what we say with our money, what we say in how we raise our children, what we say to our spouses. People are married on paper, but they're not married spiritually. They're doing whatever they want. They have to have an open marriage. And people sensationalize all the most wicked things, and then they laugh at the things that make sense. If I put up a video of my wife and I doing something deplorable, it'll get 1 million likes. If I say something prophetic, it'll get 3. So it shows you where the minds and hearts of people are. You know, people don't want to be instructed. You know, the Bible says there'll come a time when man will not have ears for wisdom, but they'll have itchy ears for their own doctrine. They want to feel good. But God, but the Messiah did not call you to just express your emotions, and your emotions matter more than what his word says. The word is more important than your emotions. And we've gotten away from that. So that's kind of how I look at it.
Beautiful. I like that. Dennis, since you spoke so tersely, we'd like to counter-respond to what Robert just said.
Yeah. If you learn to love, you reach the level in life that you don't want to let go of. And that is our hope. Because if you can love and understand and be peaceful, you have reached a positive level in your life that you don't want to go away from. You want to keep it. It's something that's in your heart, and things that reach your heart as well as your mind, you want to keep. Why? They are important, and so is God.
Amen. Now, moving on to verse 6, which I think also, because of the nature of modern communications and the lack of fundamental proper education in this country, and perhaps in countries around the world, I mean, I really can't speak to other countries, but I do remember, gentlemen, in the early 1980s, my father was part of a club, and it was called the Ethical Culture Society. Probably some would associate with Yoko Ono. I think she was involved with it. She might still be involved in it. And I met a teacher there who retired several years before I had met her. And she had said that education in America, from her professional teaching experience, had been diminished since the late 1960s. And part of that process, I would suggest, is that people do not have the patience, as King Solomon advises. If we're going to increase the wise man's wisdom and the understanding of an understanding man and prove to the simple and knowledge and discretion to the youth, we have to educate people to probe and to understand an allegory and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. Because sometimes the best way to transmit a teaching, an instruction, which will really cause a person to hook onto it and never leave it, is not being taught in a linear fashion. I mean, if life was all about just acquiring linear knowledge, 1 plus 1 equals 2, 5 plus 5 equals 10, well, we'd have to throw out basically all, not just modern technology, but how did people know how to irrigate their lands 2,000-3,000 years ago? How did people know how to, I saw a video where American Native Indians would burn down part of their fields in the middle of the country, which would provide a greater running ground for the buffalo. It would make it easier for them to capture, because the buffalo was like their mainstay. It was like the oil for the American Indians. It was a source of food, a source of fuel, a source of medicine. they took the bones and used it for, you know, toys for the children. So we see here that the all peoples think that advance their cultures are not just thinking linearly, but they're thinking allegorically, and they're using figures, and even although I don't read hieroglyphics, when I sometimes look at these pictures of these ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics of saying half man and then half fox or half alligator, I'm wondering if they're trying to say literally there was a half alligator, half man, or we're talking about a certain reptilian type of nature, a predatory state of a ruler in that particular time. I don't know. Maybe someone who knows hieroglyphics can explain to me what are those symbols, because that's how I look at it, because I have been one for the last 25, 26 years. I do study allegories. I do study riddles. I don't understand them all, but I know they're coming from the wise, and it's a proper investment in my time to engage in this type of thinking as opposed to just linear thinking. Dennis, your take on these matters.
Well, we as you cannot...
Dennis? Oy vey. Seems like we've lost... Robert? Yeah.
I'm here.
Dennis?
Yeah, wow.
Are you there, Dennis? Maybe hit his mute button. Okay, so Robert, why don't you continue, why don't you take the baton and verbally run with it, and then if we can bring back Dennis, and then we'll be at the end of the... Believe it or not, we're coming to the end of the program. So, Rob, what do you think about this? Is it a proper education just to teach people in a linear fashion?
Absolutely not. I mean, you got to understand something there. That's that, you know, remember when they brought, you know, blacks from Africa as slaves? You know, we didn't come here on the Carnival Cruise Line. We came here on a slave ship. You got to understand all the energies that surround these types of actions that people would have us, you know, forget based on critical race theory. They say, let's not talk about these things. I'm like, well, how could we not talk about these things? Do we ask you to forget that you were the first president or the second president or third president? Do we forget that you as a president had slaves as the president? So, you know, we can't erase history, especially if you wrote it. But to answer your question, no. I mean, remember now that you wrote it, now you want us to forget about it. That's a nice trick. Linear education as opposed to other things. Remember that the slaves could not communicate with their master, at least the first generation, maybe going to the second generation. They had to learn English. So they weren't allowed to read, but they could speak English because that's how, if you come out of the womb speaking to your English slave master, that becomes your new native language because you're a native of the place. The point is,
right,
you didn't have to learn how to read to pick cotton or to clean a floor or to do all the menial tasks that you were assigned in the daily parts of your life. You just did what you had to do. So there was no one plus two. In fact, you were not allowed to read. You were not allowed to write. You were not allowed to do anything except take orders. So in light of that alone, we know that, you know, our bodies are and our minds are strong enough to do anything we want, even without a book. You know, you basically, the book is actually the blueprint after you learn how to do it, so you can share it with other people to make it easier for them so they don't have to try to figure it out. That's what the books are for. That's what the Bible's for. That's what the Torah's for. It's written information so that we can come along and pick it up and go, oh, this is what they were talking about. This is what they were thinking. This is what God said. So, I mean, it's asinine. In terms of the hieroglyphics, you know, that always leaves a question mark in my mind also. What also leaves a question mark is how you could look at that and not look at blacks as, you know, God's original creation. You know, people get angry when I say that. But why does it make anybody angry for someone to be first and not them? First doesn't mean better. First doesn't mean only. First doesn't mean significant. First means first. You know, we don't know what's the first animal God created. What's the first plant God created? What's the first bird created? No one knows. Would anyone care? But society is running away where people are not allowed to be honest about what they see and say, listen, this is what it is. Now, if you have a question, take it up with the creator, but don't take it up with the creation. And that's where we are. So in terms of learning, we can't look at linear learning as only learning because that is not, we don't control that. We don't control the colleges or the institutions or the books or even what's allowed in the curriculum. We control absolutely zero of that. And the Jewish community, to their credit, one of the only communities that take responsibility for teaching what they believe is important to their culture to preserve things and the Native Americans as well. But in the education system, just the conventional system, no, you're taught what they want you to learn so that they can monetize your physical body. Learn it this way, and then when you come out, you can have a job. It doesn't tell you to be your own person, to be an entrepreneur, or to be self-sufficient, or grow your make your own town. It's just telling you just that if you learn these things, you'll be able to make bread so you can feed your family, and don't question it. There's no need to question it. So, you know, those are the things that I think about. And so I think we have to come to a place where we, I mean, it's not about being combative. It's just about, you know, you have to know your worth. I think that's really what it's all about for every single human being on the planet. What is your value? How do you see yourself? Who are you? Do you know who you are? Do you know what you are? Do you know why you're here? You have to ask why. The question is always why. It's not how much. It's why. Ask why. You should be asked, from the time you're born to the time you have enough sense to, you know, to understand, you should always ask yourself why. And, you know, you have to be comfortable with some of the answers that you come up with. Why do you always need to be told, someone else to tell you what the answer is? Why can't you decide for yourself what the answer
right.
might be?
Right.
So that's my thought on it. Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to mention as well, you mentioned about the Jewish people and our culture and our teachings. Well, I just want to point out that since the beginning of the 1980s, the Lubavitcher Rebbe hearkened and called out to the entire nation of Israel that we no longer have to be reticent, shy, afraid to share the parts of the Torah, really the entire Torah for that matter, to the entire world, to show them that there are universal instructions for each and every human being based on the fundamental Aksumic teaching that every human being has a divine image. This conversation, Robert, as it's been so frank and open between Dennis, you and I, would probably not have taken place 50, 60, for sure not 100 years ago, for surely not 200 years ago, because 200 years ago I was somewhere in Eastern Europe speaking Yiddish, and I don't know how many generations your family's in the Americas, but they might have been speaking Swahili or Ge'ez or Amharic, some African language. So here we are now, by divine providence, having this open, and I think open-hearted discussion to try to bring more and more people into the fold of human communication about matters that are truly significant, that we are made in God's image. And I think I humbly assert this is the basis of all self-esteem, to know that you were made in Creator's image, whether you be man, woman, or child, elderly, whatever it may be. So I'm going to leave you with, say, the last word. Then I'm going to do my concluding statement. And unfortunately, it looks like we lost Dennis. He must have attended something very important. And then we'll segue out of the program with some music.
Yeah. Well, Don, you know, I go back to what I said a moment ago. And you know me, I'm very open. I don't mix words. I think that our purpose becomes pretty clear to us as we age. And I think we said in our last conversation a week ago, that, you know, as we age, we're supposed to get wiser. Well, that's not always the case for everyone. I mean, you have to seek it. You have to surround yourself with wise counsel. You have to, you know, you have to, these are, it's a verb, you know, it's an action. You know, you have to do something for it to happen.
Yeah. Dennis, we lost you. Robert is making his concluding statement, and then you can, and then we're going to segue out of the program. I'm sorry, go ahead, Rob, and then we'll go with Dennis.
What I want to say is simply this, is that we have a responsibility, you know, as children of God, to do what God tells us to do. We don't have the option of opting out of that option. And I think a lot of times we believe that we do. We're put here for a purpose. And I think, you know, if we use the purpose correctly, we're going to see how God shows up and how he directs and guides things. We just have to come to a place as human beings where we take responsibility for what we can do. The things that we cannot do, God will do. Let me say it again. The things that we cannot do, God is well aware of the things that we cannot humanly do, physically do, and he will fill in those areas. But whatever he can do, whatever we can do, he's not going to do it for us. That's the problem. Some of us are just waiting. You know, so we're waiting. Stop waiting for all the things that you can do yourself. Stop waiting to be told the right thing. The books are available. You know, communication is, you know, everything is available to us to a degree, and if we just utilize those things, we're going to be fine. Last point, and I want Dennis, you know, to finish, is that we have to learn how to love each other. And I mean, to the point where we just close our eyes and say, I just love this man, this woman, this child, because they're a human like me, and we're all striving for the same thing. That's to have peace of mind. Not about how much, you know, who they are, where they're from, what they sound like. You know, that person is tall, short, ugly, fat, skinny, whatever people's judgments are, those things need to be done away with. We have to come to a pure place, you know what I'm saying? And I think we talk about the Messiah. That's what the Messiah is. He wants to return and see us in that state, hopefully. And if we're not in that state, why would he come back to a place where we're still fighting about things that we fought about 5,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago? What would be the purpose?
Right.
You know, have we evolved to the place where he says, wow, I can find peace in something that I created? I mean, is he thinking that? Is he seeing that? And if not, then what are we doing? So that's my thought.
Before we turn to Dennis for his concluding statement, Rob, please remind our listening audience, our international audience, how they connect to you, because you are an ordained minister as well. You can give counsel, as well as you have a wonderful website to promote your wares through your graphic artist abilities par excellence.
Yes, well, I'm on Rob Walker Studio. Rob Walker Studio on Instagram. I'm currently working on my website again. So, yeah, Rob Walker Studio on Instagram. And my email address is robwalkerbrooklyn@gmail.com. And you can reach out to me anytime. And, again, so, yeah, that's it. The website is being restructured at this point. But Rob Walker Studio is how you can reach me on social media.
Beautiful. Dennis, any concluding statements? And we missed you for those several minutes, but thank God you came back, and make your concluding statement now.
Well, prior to Alexander the Great, every country that conquered another told the conquerors, those that were conquered, they'd become slaves of the country that conquered them. And this was a thing that was used centuries and centuries and centuries. So it isn't American slavery, or slavery as we know it today, is something new. This was something that was practiced a long, long time ago. Have we learned? No, we haven't learned, but we still go about the process. The only thing we can offer is hope. Hope for the future that we will change things for the better. And we can only do that if we work at it now. So love is an important part of everything being changed. Without love, there is no hope.
Thank you, Dennis. And with that being said, I'd like to thank our co-host today, Robert Walker, who came on a little bit later, and then Dennis, who almost exited a little too soon, but came back with that fine concluding statement. This is your international, local cyberspace Torask and Dunzus, who've been reminding everyone, if you want to have a taste of messianic era, contemplate in your mind's eye, in your mind's heart, or wherever your mind may take you, wherever your heart might take you, how in this very existential moment, which didn't exist before, won't exist later, or in this moment, if you can think of a thought, how you'd love to see for the elimination of hatred, jealousy, and competition not needed upon the face of this earth, then truly you are suckling from the spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, the divine inspiration, the prophetic teachings of what will just a portent, a little taste, a little snack, a little movie trailer of what the universe of redemption will be about. We're going to be ending off today with our young artist, Ari Lesser. Every time I listen to him, I hear more, not lesser. This is called Shema. He's basically saying in English the famous classical Shema prayer, which is, "Hear Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And let's go out, bless souls in a day, and celebrate with other people in a way of Ahav Echad, one love, Goral Echad, one destiny, Kolano, for all those, but Dark Inom, Dark Shom, in a peaceful, pleasant way. Everyone take care. Shema. Please listen.
Listen, Yisrael, Hashem shall be your God, Hashem shall be only. Blessed is the name and glory of God's kingdom eternally. Love the one you got with all yourself, with all your soul, with all your wealth. And may these words which I impart to you to stay be on your heart. Teach them to your kids and tell them while you sit at home as well. It's while you're walking on your way and when you're laying right each day. And on your arm let them be tied and place them in between your eyes. These words I tell you, write them straight upon your doorpost and your gate. And it shall be that if you heed all these commandments I decreed, make love for God your highest goal, to serve with all your heart and soul. Hashem shall bless your land with rain, so you may harvest all your grain. Rain will fall for you in time to gather up your oil and wine. Grass will feed your cow and bull, and you will eat until you're full, but watch your heart, don't go straight and bow to other gods to pray. If you forget these words and turn the anger of Hashem will burn against you, and God will restrain the sky so there will be no rain. Then the ground will not produce, so you will swiftly be cut loose, banished from life on a good land Hashem had given to your hand. So you shall place these words of mine upon your heart and soul and bind them on your arm to signify, let them be in between your eyes. Teach them to your kids and tell them while you sit at home as well as while you're walking on your way and when you're laying right each day. And at your house you write them straight upon your doorpost and your gates as a reminder so you may prolong your days and all the days of your children long as they live on ground. Hashem is sworn to give to your ancestors like the days of heaven on the earth always. Hashem said to Moshe, you tell this to the sons of Yisrael. These are the words you shall repeat. They shall make themselves see peace. It shall be like a fringe that goes upon the corner of their clothes. Throughout their generations they shall wear the tzitzit in its way. Upon each corner, through each one, a thread of Tehillit shall run. For you the tzitzit they shall be worn in a way that you may see. Then you shall remember to do all Hashem commanded you. For then your heart will not explore, nor your eyes after which you whore. Because instead you shall recall my commandments to do them all. Then you shall become holy unto your God, holy to me. I am Hashem, your God, whose hand brought you forth from Egypt land. That I may be his God for you, I am Hashem, your God is true.